Okay, so the next section of our course, we're going to look at the immune function. We've done anemia. We're going to look at immune function. We're going to look at your electrolytes and minerals and bone metabolisms, vitamins and blood sugar. Again, this is something I say at the beginning of all my presentations, and I encourage you to do the same as you're working with people and presenting, whether it's one-on-one or in a formal presentation. Some way of saying, I'm not diagnosing you. This isn't medical advice. This is education. I'm educating you about how your body works so that you can make really amazing decisions about how to take care of it. But if you are on any medication, if you are under the care of a medical practitioner, make sure that any changes you make to your diet and lifestyle are in conjunction with that practitioner. Now, we all know that we have patients that do not have a medical practitioner and don't want to have a medical practitioner because they don't want interventions in the medical and surgical realm. That's fine, and that's their decision. But you still have to tell them that you're not diagnosing them and that they need to work with their medical practitioner. It's just, you know, where it goes. You may be able to help them get solve all their problems without it, but if they are on medication or under the care, just to cover yourself, you should be telling people. All right, so let's look at immune markers. We've already talked about white blood cells briefly when we introduced them on the cases. White blood cells are your primary defense against disease. And there's different types of white blood cells that do different things with disease. And we're going to look at each one of those. And we're going to look at how to analyze the reports. So your neutrophils are the most abundant type of white blood cells, and those are elevated in bacterial infection, usually. It's not 100%, but they usually get elevated with a bacterial infection. And you also might be seeing them called segs or bands. Usually it's neutrophils, though. I think those are old terms. So lymphocytes are often elevated in viral infection. And between the neutrophils and the lymphocytes, they make up over 90% of your white blood cells, if you're healthy. Because the other ones, we'll look at basophils, eosinophils, and monocytes, they're very tiny amounts, okay? So neutrophils, the range is, say, 40 to 60, and the lymphs is the range of, like, 20 to 40, something like that, and then the rest of them has much smaller ranges, and we'll look at those ranges in a bit. Your monocytes are the second line of defense, and they're elevated in the late stages, when you're recovering from a disease mostly. The monocytes, they come in later. They're the troops that come in later. So if you have somebody with elevated monocytes, the question you want to ask is, have you had an infection recently? Have you had a cold or the flu or bronchitis or sinus infection? Have you had something recently and you're just getting over it? Usually they say, yeah, about 3 weeks ago, and it seems like it's getting better, but you know what? I still cough a little at night. And okay, that's why the monocytes are elevated. Okay. And then you've got basophils, which are related to histamines. And histamines are chemicals that are released by cell membranes that produce, they basically kill things. They're like the little bullets. And they come out in allergies. So basophils can also be elevated if you have parasites. So basophils are elevated and histamines are allergy. And they're usually like very small amounts, 0 or 1. Anything larger than that, you've got some issues going on. Monocytes can go up to about 9%. Eosinophils. Again, parasites and allergies. So with the eosinophils, usually the functional range is up to about 3. On the medical range, they let them go up to about 6. So let's go into a little bit more detail on this. So let's look at what would your white blood cell counts, your differential is what it's called when you have the different amounts of each. What does it look like if you have a bacterial infection? Well, your white blood cells may be either high or low, depending. Usually it's high if it's an acute bacterial infection. Usually it's high. in the acute stage of disease. And when it's a chronic stage of disease, it's like it's worn out. Well, it's just at a lower level than normal. Your neutrophils will be high and your lymphocytes will be low. So when you look at the ratio of neutrophils to lymphocytes, that ratio will be skewed more in favor of the neutrophils. That's a clue. Is that 100%? No. You have to look at other things. You know, bacterial infections cause higher fevers than viral infections, usually. Bacterial infections generally make people feel more drained, more out of it, whereas virals tend to be more annoying and chronic. But not 100%. It's just clues. But this is what you'll see. So in a viral infection, the white blood cells, again, will be high or low, depending acute versus chronic, but your neutrophils are usually low and your lymphocytes high. So, and that means just a little bit off. That ratio is a little bit off. If it's a lot off, it's probably a more serious condition and, or more chronic. And then in a parasite infection, what are you going to see? Well, your hematocrit is going to be low. Why? Because the parasites, they eat at you. They affect you on a deep level. They can eat all your nutrients. They can eat away at tissue in your body, depending on where they are. So generally, we see hematocrit being low. We also see white blood cells being high. Usually, it's not going to be low with a parasite, but sometimes I've seen them low with chronic parasitic stuff. So that's not 100%. The eosinophils and basophils both will be high. Your monocytes will be high because you're constantly in that recovery phase. You never get out of it, so it's a chronic ongoing thing. And then also, your MCV can be high. Cute backs. Yes. Those are fun to find. So, what are some other immune system markers? So we could pull this whole thing together. In the summary sheet, the analysis, which is currently up on the Module 3 page, on the, towards the bottom with the handouts, and we'll be going through it later in more detail, you've got a summary of all the different types of conditions we're going to talk about today, and it has all a list of which of the markers might be high or low. And you can actually go through that when you're going through a lab, especially at the early stages when you're first learning, and mark and highlight that. And I'll teach you how to do that later. But this is a list of all the different immune system markers and how they're affected. Uric acid will be high if in RA, rheumatoid arthritis, or gout. Your globulin will be low when there's infection. Your globulins are a protein fraction. And it's a protein that's used to make antibodies. And our antibodies are called immunoglobulins. Immunoglobulins. We have different types of immunoglobulins. Immunoglobulin A versus immunoglobulin G versus M, E, and they have different roles. And when we do immune system, we'll go into more detail on immune system in one of our other on one of our other modules, on the module that we talk about the fats and the fatty acids, because that's a big piece of it. So I'll go into more details on the immunoglobulins then. So your immunoglobulins are low, you're going to tend to have more infections because you don't have enough antibodies, right? And when they're high, you're going to have autoimmunity or allergy because that's an overactivity of your immune system. So bilirubin being high is a marker for your immune system. Bilirubin is what breaks down the old used up blood cells. It's the breakdown product of used up blood cells. When alkaline phosphatase is high, that could indicate that there's a shingles infection going on. When your LDH, which we'll talk about these later when we talk about the liver, but when that's high, it could be inflammation or viral. When your AST, yet another a liver enzyme, is high, it could be an infection that's in the liver, like mono or Epstein-Barr or cytomegalovirus. When your iron is high, it can be suggestive of a viral infection, or it can actually promote that. And then the cholesterol, or LDL, when they're low, it's usually an autoimmune disease. And when HDL is very high, and we're talking way out of range high, so if you have a really skewed pattern of your fats, like cholesterol and LDL are really, really low and your HDL is really high, that's probably an autoimmune. And then other immune system markers would be antibodies anywhere, pretty much. Thyroid antibodies, intrinsic factor antibodies, islet cell antibodies, insulin antibodies, rheumatoid factor, anti-ANA, anti-nuclear antibodies. So there's so many possibilities. So anytime there's elevations in antibodies, that's an immune system marker. That's saying you've got an autoimmune disease. We'll go into that more detail. I just wanted you to see that when you see alterations like we saw before in those white blood cell markers, you can also look to see if there are other markers elsewhere that indicate that there's some immune system problems going on. I included some of the inflammatory markers because inflammation is part of your immune system. That's what your immune system does. So some of those would be C-reactive protein, which is a marker of inflammation, and then advanced lipid markers. So that would be, there's some things that we're going to look at when we go to the cardiovascular system, the VAP, in other words, to look at the lipids. And then SED rate is erythrocyte sedimentation rate, another inflammatory marker. Homocysteine can be a marker of inflammation. And then there's some other tests you can do, like the blood spot fatty acid test, which usually don't do it in the full blood because you can just have a blood spot, but you can also draw blood and get it done. Most of the conventional labs have no clue how to do a blood spot, a fatty acid test, and that's where you look at your omega-3s and 6s. And then other inflammatory markers are ANA, which is anti-nuclear antibodies, and rheumatoid factor. So I just threw that in just so you know what some of the inflammatory markers are. Okay, so the immune system isn't as complicated, the white blood cells are not as complicated as the red blood cells. So let's look at a couple of cases and let's make sure that you guys can see it, right? So we've got white blood cells are 4.5. Is that high or low? It's obviously low, right? Because the minimum is 5 and the maximum is 8. It's not low compared to the lab range, but it's functionally low. It's saying there's probably not a huge pathology here, but there's something functionally wrong. There's a stress and strain here. Platelets are normal. Neutrophils are 32. That's very low. They should be between 40 and 60. Okay? That's even below the range, the lab range. Your lymphs are a little bit high. They're 43. So we've got a distortion between neutrophils and lymphs. We've got a low white blood cell count. We have monocytes at a 7, which is okay. It's right within range. We have basophils at 0, but we have eosinophils at 18. 18. Okay? So anybody want to take some guesses as to what might be going on and what further things you want to look at in this case? I'll repeat. White blood cells are low at 4.5, marginally low in the yellow range. Neutrophils are very low at 32, below even the lab range. Lymphocytes are 43, which is high, and eosinophils is huge. And Mary says parasites. Yes, Mary, that's what I would suspect. So in this particular case, what I did was suggest that she get a stool test to look for parasites. And, you know, that was also based on other symptoms because, you're not going to do these in a vacuum. I mean, it's not fair to give you cases without, like, a big history on the person. But I want to see what you can pick up by the blood, and then you know what to ask the person. Kind of reminds me of when I took my boards and they would give you an X-ray, and you had to look at the X-ray and give a diagnosis. It didn't say how old the person was. It didn't say what other symptoms they had. You just had to look at things on the X-ray and say, well, that looks like multiple myeloma. Oh, that looks like, you know, lung cancer or whatever. So it's kind of out of context, but at least it does give you the thought process. I want you to be doing the thought process. So allergies are a possibility. Her eosinophils are high, but also her basophils are not, so it may or may not. Parasites, and she also, I'm mentioning here, she had a very high colon score on her when we did a metabolic assessment, which is a symptom survey, which you have on your module one. It could be a chronic viral infection. This person had a history of EBV and mono, right, because she has a low WBC count. And then what did we do? We talked to her about antiparasitic herbs, supporting her immune system to decrease the viral load, gave her a bunch of different herbs to look at, and then looked at the stool analysis for parasites. She didn't want to jump right into getting a stool analysis, and I understand that because they're expensive. They're in the $300 range. said, what can we do? It's either one or the other. Not going to really hurt her too much by giving her immune support. So we gave her immune support, and then we followed up, and her eosinophils came down to 9 on the next test. And so she definitely was getting it under control, and she never did have the parasite test. Okay, so her white blood cells, as we see now, are 3.3. Her red blood cells are 4.41. Her neutrophils are 40. So the red blood cells are normal, 4.41. Her white blood cells are quite low at 3.3. Her neutrophils are 40. And her lymphs are 43. So marginally up on the lymphs and very high on the monocytes. And I want to go back. I just want to go back to the previous slide just to make sure you understand why we said viral. Because she had a low white blood cell and she had a high lymph count and a low neutrophil count. So we were suspecting viral, but we're also suspecting parasites because of the 18 on the eosinophil. So I know I didn't state that, and I wanted to make sure that I was really clear to state why I thought it was both a viral and a parasite. Okay, so let's go to the next one. Okay, so white blood cells are low. That could be a chronic infection or an autoimmune thing, right? Her red blood cells are normal. Neutrophils are normal, but on the low end of normal. So it's unlikely to be a bacterial thing because the lymphs are a little bit high and the neutrophils are on the low end of normal. It could be a viral thing, right? Monocytes are 10. Maybe she's just getting over a viral infection, or maybe she has a chronic, like an autoimmune thing that's been going on for a long time. Her eosinophils are a little bit high at 6, which means there could be some allergies or some parasites. So what do you think's going on with this one? Mary says allergy. Beverly says viral. And number one, because the monocytes are high, we're thinking she's just recovering from an acute illness that was viral. She may also have an allergy or parasites. So what do we want to do here? Well, I would repeat this in 3 to 4 months. I probably would repeat it in 6 weeks I might repeat it in less than 3 months. I might rethink that and repeat it in 2 months just to make sure that there's nothing more serious going on that's not going in the wrong direction, but really support her immune system with some oregano and thyme and garlic and olive leaf extract and reishi and astragalus, echinacea, berberine, anything else you have in your bag of tricks. If you do Chinese herbs, you might do some Chinese herbs. Oh, this is a sample where I'm showing you what the little descriptions are, and this is going to be very helpful as a learning tool for you. If you put all the labs in, any old labs you have, get your mom and your dad and anybody else if you don't have clients, get your clients' labs out and start plunking them into these and start seeing patterns. So this is what it would look like, the whole CBC mapped out. And we're looking at this right away. We're thinking, whoa, look at all this orange, a little bit of, very little green. So what do we have going on for this person? And these are two different dates, and I didn't catch the dates as to when they were. But she had white blood cells of 5.7, and then they went down to 4.3. Something happened in there. She had red blood cells down, and then they're going up. Interesting. Her hemoglobin went from 11.3, went up to 12.4. So her red blood cells, her anemia status is getting better from one to the next. Her hematocrit went from 33 to 37.5. Her MCV went from 87 to 89. Her MCH went from 29 to 29. It's pretty much the same. And her MCH went down a little bit. But her anemia markers are improved on here, but there's some stuff going on with her white blood cells that we'd want to look at. Her RDW went from 16.2 to 14, which is excellent. It's a really dramatic drop, which says she's addressed her anemia here big time. And this is what having these things on a spreadsheet sequentially helps you.